God, of the even Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Sticks and stones can hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. What a lie. Who came up with that? Bulletin cover, the bison skull with this magnificent piece of artwork on it coming from Lakota peoples. The symbol is that peace only emerges when the fragmentations and all the animosities begin to come together. They face each other and have to find a way to live together. You and I can't force peace. Is there raging peace in Afghanistan now? Do bullies create peace? Can't force peace. Last week, as the story begins in Jeremiah, the prophet says, "This people and this city will be destroyed like an earthen jar, smashed into pieces and fragments, because we are making foolish choices. And they will lead us towards death." And the people responded by believing everything the prophet said. Hardly. They're outraged. They attack, spew lies and deceit, intimidate in every way possible. Nobody wants to hear. The favorite weapon is mobocracy. That's how it works. Like a swarm of gnats. Deceit, abuse, indignation, terror on every side. Oh, here's the big prophet. What credibility do you have? And it comes from every which way and direction. If you've ever been the target, you will never forget. If you've watched it happen to other people, you can never forget. Jeremiah is tormented. If he speaks, he's condemned and attacked. If he keeps silent, that word of God within him just burns. Both are unbearable. So he turns to God in prayer because his life depends upon it. And the prayer, which we heard from last week, begins with Jeremiah's outrage. This isn't just a mere complaint. He gets down and dirty in that private conversation. He is outraged. He's overwhelmed. What are you doing to me, God? Why are you betraying me? What hope is there? But somehow, in the midst of that prayer, you see, by that unleashing of everything that was true of Jeremiah's experience, there is a breakthrough. Turning of the heart. This is always inexplicable. But suddenly the prayer begins to say, "But I know I'm not alone. God, I know you never abandoned me. I can move forward." And then even praise God. God will find a path. Praise God. This is not the end of the story. Praise God. And this is the secret of his survival. For some reason, Christians have become way too polite. In fact, it's said in our society that the first and chief sin in America is to be impolite. Say things that hurt people's feelings. Disappear. The secret of Jeremiah's survival is that unveiling of his heart in total honesty, in genuine agony, that releasing to God is the path for a new connection. It's been said that all great poetry is written from within the eye of the storm. The hurricane breaks, bashing, smashing everything in its way. And then for a moment, the eye opens above one. And there is time to reflect just so briefly and recognize what is going on. And then the storm bashes again. And I think it's pretty true to life, don't you? But these moments of insight, this is where the gospel comes to us. It is that delicate. That's why there's no way to peace. There's no formula that's not laid out. It's coming from our heart connections and the mutual encouragement of each other. And everything depends on that. Jesus was Jeremiah. He understood Jeremiah. He experienced what Jeremiah experienced. And he goes beyond Jeremiah. Who is Jesus? Somebody had the answer. That's the dangerous thing. We really think there is an answer. We act like that all the time. But the church just loves to proclaim, theologically, there is who Christ is. This is from Dorothy Sayers, thoughtful person, author, writer, lay theologian of the previous generation. She and C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and Bede Griffiths were part of a group called the Inklings in Oxford every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. They'd come together at the local pub, sip sherry, and read each other's writings to each other. Wouldn't you like to have been part of that club? Can you imagine? They did this for decades. Ooh. Dorothy Sayers wrote this. Who was Jesus? Well, to those who knew him, there's no way to suggest that he was milk and toast. People objected to Jesus as a dangerous firebrand. True, he was tender to the unfortunate, patient with honest inquirers, and humble before heaven. But he regularly insulted respectable citizens and clergy. by calling them hypocrites. He referred to King Herod as that fox. In our time, fox means cool. In that time, the fox was a symbol like a skunk. He stinks. He called the most powerful leader in his region a stinking skunk. Do you get the meaning of that, or is that a little foggy for you? What? He went to parties with disreputable people. He was looked upon as a gluttonous man and wine bibber, as it says in King James, or as a party animal and a drunk in our English language today. Is that foggy for you? He was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He assaulted the indignant hucksters in the temple and threw them out, threw them all out of the temple. He drove a tank through any number of sacrosanct laws and regulations. He cured diseases by any means possible, spit, mud, whatever. He cured diseases by any means that was handy. He was totally shocking when he cast demons out of a man into, as the Bible says, 2,000 pigs. You know what happens that way sometimes. What do you think the property owner felt? He showed no deference for the wealthy, or those of social position, or politicians. And when confronted with death threats, he displayed a paradoxical humor that affronted serious-minded people. He frequently asked provocative, searching questions that nobody could answer. He was emphatically not a dull person. And if he was God, there could be nothing dull about God either. Can I get an amen for Jesus? Amen. Anybody want to hang with him? It should be scaring us, actually. Discipleship really should be this back and forth, drawn, attracted into him. I don't know if I really want to sign up for this. As my father used to say, it's amazing that anybody comes to church. But we allow this transformation within us. Well, the response to Jesus was curiosity, bafflement, and mobocracy. We cannot put up with this. We will not put up with this. And he lived under death threats for the whole of his ministry. We cannot force peace. That's what the life of Christ is about. He came that we might not live by our fear, but live into the peace which the world cannot give. He is showing us the way, and that peace always depends upon an open heart, a humble heart, a contrite heart. And that requires cultivation day by day And so he says, welcome the prophets among you. Welcome the righteous and the wise ones. Welcome the least with even a cup of cold water. And you'll be welcoming me. Peace be with you. Amen. The peace which surpasses all